Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Elaine B. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Massachusetts. Today's date is Friday, February 8th, and this is a 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting. Today, we're reading from the Big Book. We are on page XXVIII, which begins with frothy emotional appeal and ends with recreate their lives. We'll be commenting on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are Linda B. on the 12 Steps, Christina M. on the 12 Traditions, Robin P., Julie B., and Kara L. And then Sharon B. will greet our newcomers at the end of the meeting and get numbers from available sponsors. And Shelley E. will close us out with some announcements. The reference number for today's 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting, yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting, and that would be for Thursday, April 7th, is 18795. That's 18795. And the reference number for this morning's 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting for Friday, April. April 8th is 18798. That is 18,798. DOA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Linda B. to please read the 12 steps.
Thank you, Elaine. Good morning, everyone. I'm Linda B., a recovered compulsive overeater in Ontario, Canada. The 12 Steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And thank you for letting me be of service this morning. And with that, I will pass.
Thank you very much, Linda B. And I'll now ask Christina M. to please read the 12 traditions.
Thanks so much, Elaine. Good morning, everyone. My name is Christina M., and I'm a compulsive overeater in Massachusetts. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. they do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for letting me be of service, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Christina M. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery that are described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only, please. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a nice quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted using the star 1 function on your keypad, please. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page XXVIII in the fourth edition and reading the second paragraph. And I will ask Robin P. to please read and comment for us.
Thanks so much, Elaine. Always love hearing your voice. This is Robin P. I am a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater currently in Palm Beach, Florida. We live in Costa Rica. And I'm very grateful to be abstinent. Frothy emotional appeal seldom suffices. The message which can interest and hold these alcoholic people must have depth and weight. In nearly all cases, their ideals must be grounded in a power greater than themselves if they are to recreate their lives. Amen. You know, I was thinking all of my life before I came into a program and got abstinent and recovered 6 years ago, I just wanted to be able to control everything, especially my food and everything and everyone. And it was that illusion of control. And I also wanted to be able to do it all by myself and controlling everything. And it was literally the opposite of my recovery. And my ideals had to be grounded in a power greater than myself if I am able to recreate my life. And for me, I just remember, you know, I always remember that illness begins with I, isolation begins with I, and wellness begins with we. And the more we I have in my life, the better I do. And the more God I have in my life, the better my life goes. And, you know, there's always something going on in my life that I need to remember that I am powerless over people, places, things, and my life's become unmanageable, and turning my will and my life over to the care of God. And then also praying only for knowledge of his will for me and the power to carry that out. That's how I get to be of service to God and my fellows. And right now we're in Palm Beach for my mom's 90th birthday, and then we're flying to New York City to be with my aunt for 3 days, and then we're flying to Pittsburgh area, to Mars, to be with my dad for his 95th birthday. And there's so many things going on with people, places, and things. And I'm so powerless over them and my sister, and couldn't come in yet, and she's very behind, and she's, all these flights canceled, and I'm just so powerless and trying to help her. And, you know, just, I just get to surrender and stay in my lane, you know. And I just remember that, you know, there's my business, God's business, and none of my business. And I just get to stay in what God wants me to do today. And if before this program, I would have been trying to find a flight for my sister that she wanted, and, you know, I sent her a couple of things and she didn't want them. And, you know, I just get to just wave the white flag and give it to God, and give it to God and the angels and the Holy Spirit. And of myself, I'm nothing. The Lord doeth the work. And before this recovery, it was the opposite of that. And I am letting God recreate my life. And thank God. And I have a magnificent life. And I used to live in hell, and now I have heaven on earth. And that's because of this recovery. I'm so grateful. And I have all the tools I need to have a happy, healthy, and positively powerful life. God bless everybody with a very blessed abstinence day and weekend. And thanks again for everyone who does service on this line.
Thank you so much, Robin T. What a great start on a powerful paragraph. Really appreciate it. Okay, so we value your experience. We ask that you limit your share to once every third day. And so if you haven't shared in the last couple of days, we invite you to press star one to unmute and give me your name if you'd like to comment on this paragraph.
Kim O.
Kim O.
Richard M.
Richard M.
Judy with an I, J.
Judy J.
Bruce E.
Bruce E.
Patricia P.
Patricia P.
Jordan L.
And Jordan L. That's a great lineup. Oh, my goodness. And look at how great you guys were today. I got every name. I heard it all. Thank you very much. Okay, here's the lineup. Kim O. Richard, I can't read my writing. It might be H, but you can clarify that. And Judy J., Bruce E., Patricia P., and Jordan L. So if you are not Kim O, please press star one to mute your phone. And Kim, please share with us.
Hi, thanks. I'm Kim O, recovered compulsive overeater. And I just, the things that stood out in this reading today, you know, is there's this recreation, you know, there's this before and after. There's this significant change that can only occur through my higher power, can only occur through, you know, through working these programs and taking self, will, and ego out, and being able to have an opportunity to have an other-centered life that's abstinent, that's being present and grounded through my higher power. And the first sentence describes, it says that emotional appeal seldom suffices. And when I think about an emotional appeal, I think about it's like basing things on emotion, whether it's like manipulating to, you know, to influence or make something happen. And you know, the way that I relate to that, whether it's just because of where I am right now, but you know, it's not about manipulating, controlling, or trying to appeal through emotions. It's about being grounded. It's about being on solid ground with recovery partners, with a sponsor, through working the steps, and most important, through my higher power. And I'm grateful for learning about this program, and I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Kim O. Richard, I'm so sorry. I think the first initial last name is H, but I might be wrong. And you'll be followed by Judy J. Judy J. Yes.
Hi, this is Richard. It's Richard M. But pretty close.
Thank you so much.
I'm based out of Toronto, Canada, and I'm a compulsive eater. I've been in recovery for about 3 months. I'm getting near the end of the process, and I think I've managed to stay abstinent through this whole process, but for the very first time, I think I really saw myself slip back into the mind of the addict and thinking and lying to myself and saying, oh no, I'm still on the right path because I'm checking enough of the boxes and I'm going ahead. And meanwhile, I can have people, tell me that my life's in danger and they can say that I'm ready to, that they're just only out of care and concern and, the frothy emotional appeal, but my mind will, this is the real, and this is one of the real dangers of the disease is I will stop hearing it and I will start to find, little excuses and I'll want to debate little things. And it's very challenging for me because I noticed that, in so many parts of my life, I'm known as this reasonable, thoughtful person who has good judgment. But when it comes to, these, am I prioritizing my spiritual growth properly to be able to survive? There's a part of me that wants to have my cake and eat it too on these things. And so this idea that we need a message of depth and weight, and we need to be able to take our lives and build it on a new footing, it's absolutely critical. So thank you, everybody. I'm happy to be here.
Thank you very much, Richard N. Happy you're here as well. Judy J., you're up next, followed by Bruce E.
I'm sorry, did you call upon me?
Judy J. Okay.
Thank you. Yes. Thank you. This is Judy, and Judy spelled with an I, J. I'm from Illinois, and a grateful, recovering, compulsive overeater with 7 days abstinence today. I'm so grateful. I like this paragraph so much. Frothy emotional appeal seldom suffices. Frothy, I had to look it up. It means light and entertaining, but of little substance. Suffices means to be enough. And that was my recovery up until now. It was light, and because of that, I had relapses because it seldom was enough. It calls for depth and weight, and that's something I so wanted. So this time around, my recovery is very intense because I want depth and weight. And why? Because it is grounded in a power greater than myself. I desire through God's grace, sponsor, and fellowship, together we are all recreating my life. That is such a beautiful promise. And it just filled me this morning that I am living that promise. And I'm glad I'm present for that today. And I'm so grateful for everybody here on Vision that I listen to and I hear recovery and I hear the depth and weight of your recovery through your experience and your sharing. And thank you. I'm just so grateful today. And I pass.
Thank you very much, Judy J. Thank you for your share as well. Bruce C., you're up next, followed by Patricia P.
Hello, this is Bruce E. I'm in Southwest Florida, and I'm recovered. And thank you, everybody. That's serving. Thank you, everybody on the line. Frothy emotional appeal. And I like the doctor's opinion, of course. I like every part of this whole book, but this is especially important to me because the doctor's opinion is what I first read when I got into Vision, and it probably had one of the biggest impacts on me doing, like it says at the beginning, at the end of this paragraph, recreating my life. So a frothy emotional appeal never worked from others on me, or I've used frothy emotional appeal on myself. Oh, come on, Bruce, you can do better. Oh, man, you know, what are you doing this for? And all this. And that didn't work. And then I really had to have what it talks about later in here. I got to have a power grounded. I got to be grounded in a power greater than myself. The depth and the weight. So I got to have something to sell somebody. You know, I got to have something that goes deep inside me and has really recreated me and changed me. And then people can see that and they can tell there's a difference, even if they didn't know me before. And that's a depth and a weight. That's got to come from a power greater than myself. So if I'd come in this program before I was 38 and heard you guys sitting around here talking about higher power and God and all this stuff, I'd have thought that was pretty weird. But if I had enough pain at that point, I might have started to listen to it. So it's the pain that it's this pain of 30 years of trying to diet, trying to make things work, and trying to, you know, without really counting on a God that can change me. You know, so I had to have this pain, and finally I had enough pain to where I was ready to just say, that's it, I'm in. Their ideals must be grounded in a power greater than themselves if they are to recreate their lives. Well, how do I,
gentle,
you know.
Gentle reminder.
Oh, thank you. And the recreation of my life is a change in my attitude. That's what I'm thinking now. So thank you, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Bruce E. Patricia P., you're up next, followed by Jordan L.
Okay, my name is Patricia P. from Michigan. That's Eastern time. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Thank you, Elaine, for your service. That frothy emotional appeals seldom suffices. That I didn't look it up, but it just seemed like that's shaming words don't work on compulsive overeaters as well as alcoholics. We have the same mindset. In nearly all cases, their ideals must be grounded on a power greater than themselves if they can be recreate their lives. I think of my higher power as my recreator. And with all that, I just pass. Thank you.
Thank you. Love that. Higher power is my recreator. That's great. Okay, Jordan L., you are up next. And after Jordan shares, we will take another lineup on page XXVIII in the doctor's opinion, which one paragraph beginning with frothy emotional appeal and ending with recreate their lives. Please share with us, Jordan L.
Awesome. Thank you. Thanks for moderating for us this morning. My name is Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado and grateful to be absent and on a meeting of Overeaters Anonymous this morning. This is awesome. What a phenomenal meeting. Everyone is touched on a very important paragraph. Frothy emotional appeal seldom suffices. That's exactly what the people around me who may or may not be compulsive overeaters, but that's exactly what it was that they were trying to use, right, to help me. It was probably, they had good intentions, right? But there's another point in this book where it talks about this disease not being like other diseases. That the components of it, the results of it are shaming and blaming and fault finding and accusations, and there's a much larger sickness that comes out of this than just weight gain, in my experience. And those were the frothy emotional appeals that those around me were trying to make. You know, like they wanted to help. They wanted to help me lose weight or help me stop eating compulsively, whatever it was. And as a real compulsive overeater, that wasn't enough. It didn't suffice. I needed something more than that, a message of depth and weight, and that's what I received when I got to Overeaters Anonymous, and I heard people talking about being recovered. And it's funny because talking about being recovered is like what a vulnerable thing to talk about being recovered, especially from compulsive overeating, a disease that has affected me at least since I was 10 years old, maybe even before that. You know, like what a vulnerable thing to make that kind of claim or to say that to other compulsive overeaters. But it got my attention, and I really dove into what it was that we're talking about here, which at the end of the day is the 12 steps and complete ego deflation. I lived a life prior to this. I lived a life that was grounded in how am I going to get mine? You know, like how am I going to get to the top of the heap and shine through? How am I going to, and it's all about me and I, and how am I going to look good? I'll wrap up here. How am I going to look good? How am I going to be in charge, you know? And the 12 steps break all that down. And my experience is I work them over and over and over again, and it slowly breaks those down. And I recreate my life out of something besides ego. I recreate my life out of this fellowship and a power greater than myself that restores me to sanity. So thank you for letting me share. That's all I have.
Thank you, Jordan L. And though we value everybody's experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you haven't shared in the last couple of days and you'd like to comment on the second paragraph on page XXVIII of the doctor's opinion, let me know.
Okay,
I heard Laura M.
Brian
M.
Stacy K.
Julie E.B.
Diane
B. Pennsylvania. Wendy B. California.
Okay.
Joey B. Wendy B. California.
Okay. I got Lori M., Wendy B., Stacy K., I believe it is, Julie E. B., and Shelley E., and I have room for, I think, maybe one more.
Hi,
Deborah
Diane.
G. I heard
Diane
Deborah
A.
G.
Wendy
and
B,
Diane,
California.
I'll put Diane A in and Deborah G,
Wendy
I believe,
B.
I think I heard. And Wendy B, I do have you on the list. So, okay. So if you are not Laura M, please press star 1 to mute your phone. And Laura M, please share with us.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Laura M. Can I be heard?
Yes, you can. Thank you.
Great. I'm from California. And I really appreciate everyone who has shared and your honesty, because I had a slip yesterday, and, you know, I sort of was surprised, but in talking to my sponsor and looking at my behavior, it's not a surprise. It's been coming, and it's because I put myself first rather than let God lead the way. And, you know, frothy emotional appeals have never worked with me. I always need the straight truth, you know, and my sponsor is exactly like that. She loves me until I can love myself, and so do all of you. And, you know, I was very emotional last night. I have to do things perfectly, and I felt like a failure, and I don't feel like a failure anymore. I don't say that I'm recovered for today. I say I'm in recovery because I don't feel recovered. But I had an abstinent breakfast, and that's a good start. So thank you for listening, and thank you for being here.
Thank you so much, Lori M.
Wendy B. in California, you're up next, followed by Stacy K. Star one to unmute. Wendy B.
Sorry, it's Wendy V with like Victor. But
oh, great. Thank you,
that's
Wendy.
Okay. So I was, hi, thank you so much. So I again looked up the word frothy, and it's light and entertaining, but of little substance, of little substance. And I was thinking about all the different things in my life. If I want to see whether I'm powerless or not, I could take that one particular phrase and ask myself what things of little substance have I tried. Have I tried drinking water before I eat? Have I tried just having one dessert? Have I tried exercising before I eat? Have I tried to go to bed early? Have I tried eating all I want just one day out of the week? Have I tried all these things that have been told to me throughout the years to control my allergy to food? And the list goes on ad infinitum. And when I think of that, and my disease wants to come in and go, oh, you're okay. You just do, you know, I can combat it with the list of things that I have tried that are of frothy emotional appeal that have never, ever, ever beat the physical allergy or the mental obsession, ever. And the list goes on. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Wendy B. in California. Stacy K., you're up next, followed by Julie E. B.
Good morning. Thanks for hearing me and being of service today. I'm Stacy K. I'm in Colorado, and I'm a compulsive overeater. It's good to be on the line today, and it's good to open my mouth. This idea of our program being grounded in a power greater than ourselves and, you know, having our lives recreated. No kidding. You know, these promises, you know, all of them. All the way through the steps, there's many, many promises, and I'm so grateful today to experience those. And I was just thinking of one thing. One thing that I wanted to share is that, you know, this daily reprieve we get, and that I get this today, and just because I have it in this moment doesn't mean I'm going to have it in an hour. Like, this is a constant thing that, like, to be grounded in a power greater than myself just means that I get to remember who I am and my first step, and I get to remember what I'm here to do, you know, and who I'm supposed to be. And that's just for today in this moment. I hope that I have this tomorrow too, but like, I don't know. So I get to do it one day at a time. That's all I got. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Stacy K. Julie E. B., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Shelley E.
Hi, this is Julie E. B., gratefully recovered in Colorado Springs. And I have so much identify with how heartbreaking it is. You know, we talked in the paragraph before about how problems pile up and become astonishingly difficult to solve. And so for me, frothy emotional appeal really captures the swings that I would have to, oh yeah, I'm going to grandiose thinking, I'm going to overcome all this and do everything. And then I'd swing around and think to anxiety, depression, you know, and think, oh, I can't do anything at all. And so for me, it's not just from other people, but sometimes the message I try and give myself is emotional appeal. You know, I try and use self-will, which is actually one of my biggest problems, but I try and use it in the disease to kind of gear myself up to handle pain without my addiction, to deal with life, to control things, to
say, oh, everything's going to be happy because this is a new job or a new wedding or whatever it is. And so when we are sharing a message of depth and weight, for me, what that's about is me being willing to go into my own story and share, you know, how dark it is, how scary it is, how I can just cry and feel empty inside. And that there is something that happened to me now where with the steps I can access a power that speaks to me and says, I see you, I know you, and I love you where you are. And that's what moves me to a new place. So when I have this power greater than me and that's more personal to me, then moment by moment, day by day, one meal at a time, one phone call at a time, one meeting at a time, I just practice, what if someone cares about me? That changes my life. Thanks for letting me share in my past.
Thank you so much, Julie E.B. We care about you. Thank you for your share. Okay, Shelly E., you're up next, followed by Deborah G.
Good morning. Thank you for your service. This is Shelly E., a recovered compulsive overeater in Arlington, Texas. I wish I could speak as beautifully as so many people do on this line, but I don't. But I did want to make a comment on this. When I first read this, Frothy Emotional Appeal Seldom Suffices, very first time I went through the big book, I thought, wow, that's so true. Growing up, my dad, from love, would always say, oh, I'll buy you this, or oh, I'll get you that, or all you have to lose is 20 pounds. And sometimes it would work, you know, and I'd get the thing and boom, you know, I gained 40 more. But, you know, he was trying to help, but it took my Ebby and her message of depth and weight to bring me to the room. But when I read this the first time, I realized I was doing that to my addict children. And I didn't even realize it. But I was like, you know, after one of their vendors, I'd sit down and go, now let's talk about this and your problem. And I had no idea that really what I was doing was pushing them toward their addiction as my dad had pushed me. And while I was coming from a place of love also, I had no idea that I just needed to keep my trap shut and worry about my own problems. And it also reminds me on page 103 in the big book, we're careful never to show intolerance or hatred of drinking as an institution, which I was guilty of. A spirit of intolerance might repel alcoholics whose lives could have been saved had it not been for such stupidity. And I have to raise my hand and say I was one of those. I was one of those who gave frothy emotional appeal to the addicts in my life. And so now I know I have a power greater than myself. I am in the midst, and I do have a recreated life. I am in the midst of continuing to recreate my life. I hope I have a message of depth and weight. I do try and share my story with everyone that I can, or with everyone who's, you know, really seeking. And also, I have one last thought. Sometimes I can still find myself worrying about an addict child, you know, what they're doing, are they driving, you know, that type of thing. And I have to remind myself, I don't think my children are at their houses worrying if I'm having a bite of chocolate cake. I really don't think that they're worrying about my program. And it kind of puts it in perspective for me that, you know, stay in your own lane, Shelly. Don't worry about their program. Again, I'm Shelly E. In Arlington, Texas, and thank you for letting me share. My pass.
Thank you so much, Shelly E. That was a great share. Thank you. Okay, Deborah G., you'll be followed by Diane A.
Oh, good morning. Good morning. Thank you so much for your service this morning and everyone that's made this meeting possible and all the shares. Thank you all for 12-stepping me today. And I'm Deborah G. from Arizona. And I was remembering back how I was always trying to recreate my life or create my life or do my life or whatever I was doing with my life that was so unmanageable and was not working. or for maybe a little bit worked, but then didn't, you know. And I'm so grateful that I'm reminded by my sponsor that I have no power and I can't manage my life, and that when I start going through these steps, I start to gain some power, and I start to let that power help me to create my life, help me to heal from my manageability. It's like a partnership that we go on through the rest of the steps, and then living my life with these beautiful 12 steps, with that power, you know, remembering. Now, it doesn't mean that I don't forget. I forget. I do forget. And I'm out there again trying to recreate, trying to do this and do that. But I'm just so grateful that I have this program. I have all of you. I can hold hands with you and walk through this and hold hands when I run away from God and I separate myself. I can run back, you know, run back, and that power is right there waiting for me, loving me, compassion, care, protection, all that is waiting for me, and going back to that so that I can have that as a partnership and trust that my life will be recreated with that power, and just be absorbed by that power's love and compassion. And in that, just doing that, things will change. Transformation comes. And thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Deborah G. Lovely. Okay. Diane A., you are up next, and please share with us.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Diane A. I'm from Oregon, Ohio. Thank you all for your service. I usually listen to this meeting as a recording when I walk in the park, because 7 a.m. is the one I get up to. And today I was listening and I thought, yes, Frothy, what were the turning points in my recovery? How did that turn around? No one ever, I was blessed. No one ever insisted, oh, you need to lose weight. You got some, you know, you've got problems here. So that was good, which then let me just slip away. But just in the summer of 2019, I was meeting with my cardiologist after a mild cardiac event earlier in the year, and he was noting my weight, and it was up absolutely well above normal. And he had seen me years ago, was concerned about it, and I had lost weight before because I had come back to OA in 2016. I thought I was abstinent. I thought I was doing okay because the weight was coming off, but I was still doing whiskey in the milk, quite frankly. And when I met with him a couple months later, he very compassionately said, oh, Diane, you're going the wrong way. Well, of course, he was referring to the numbers, but what I heard was, I'm going the wrong way. Now, just before that, a good friend of mine in OA from many years ago, I'd come in 1981, I crossed paths with her, and she was telling me about these Vision for You meetings. I thought, oh, I go to telephone meetings. I go to Big Book meetings. Well, eventually, she came around, kept asking, not Frothy Emotional Appeal, but she was appealing, you really need to check this out. What a turning point that's been for me. And I think about how gentle and kind and compassionate the words of that doctor were, and he has since been very happy because the weight has come down even further, way down, and not only those numbers, but the medical numbers, triglycerides, cholesterol, A1C, all these things, blood pressure, are showing that physical recovery, but it's only been because of studying the 12 steps and the traditions and continuing to hear the sharing that goes on. And I just love that we say, keep coming back. You know, it'll all sink in. Just like the promises say, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly, but they will sink in if I just keep returning and leaving that up to my higher power, and most definitely being honest and working with others. I don't offer frothy appeal to the sponsees. My sponsor doesn't do that with me. We just work the steps and live the program. So
those appeals can come in a lot of different ways. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Diane A. We got time for a 2-minute share. Who has a burning desire? Star one to unmute.
Hey, it's Becca R.
Hi, thanks everybody. Becca R., we just have time for you, so please share with us.
Hey, Becca R., recovering compulsive overeater, and I just wanted to say what a good meeting it was. The frothy emotional appeal is what that was for me, self-will, trying to figure it out myself, do it myself, this diet, this exercise plan, if I do this action, if I eat like this, if I, it was all just pieces of what is now recovery for me. And so I'm just coming back from a relapse and wanted to share that my frothy emotional appeal did not work, and just really accepting and being in step one and that place of powerlessness. And I have the willingness, and I just pray for the willingness to continue. Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much, Becca R., and everybody who has shared today. Just so appreciate it. We're now going to transition the meeting by reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Julie E.B. please read A Vision for You?
Hi, this is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered in Colorado Springs. And my thing just went off. There we go. Vision for you. Our book is meant to be suggestion only. We realize. Let's see. Look, we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit. You shall surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you. Until then.